Okay, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this session. My name is Gil Schwenk, and I'm with a company called Bath Consultancy Group, based in Bath in the UK. And we work in leadership development, organizational development, and work with a lot of leaders in different sectors, financial, technical sector, public sector, to help them to be more effective in their leadership and especially in their communication as well. So this afternoon, thank you very much for joining us for this topic. We're going to be talking about performance coaching. And also, let me introduce you to my colleague, Patricia Henderson. Patricia.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. So I'm Patricia. I'm from assist company called Blessing White. Both companies work for GP Strategies. And so my role is mainly around helping clients decide what they need for their learning needs and creating the right content for them and making sure that gets delivered to what they're looking for it to actually do for people in the organization.
And Patricia will be leading a session in about 2 hours on managing professional growth. So let's talk about coaching. Our objective here is to introduce you to performance coaching, give you a little taster of performance coaching, a couple of models to take away and to use, and hopefully you'll be able to put some of that into action, not tomorrow, but the day after when you go back to the office. So it's a great way of helping to improve the effectiveness and productivity of your team. Let me just get some idea about how many people in the audience are team leaders in one way or another. Great. This is exactly the kind of thing that I think you'll find some value in. Let's talk about coaching. So this is an interactive session, unlike maybe some of the other ones that you've attended over these days so far and tomorrow. So it's okay to talk in this session, all right? And if you have any questions, just let me know. So first question is, how would you define coaching? What comes to mind when you think of coaching? Sorry? Unlocking. Okay, that's good. It is unlocking. That's great. Good use of the visual. Other ideas? What comes to mind when you think of coaching?
Facilitation.
Facilitation. Yeah? Okay. So we're facilitating what?
How do you call it? To get people to do their work, actually.
Okay. Good. And we're also facilitating thinking many times when we're doing coaching. Okay, what else would you comes to mind when you think of coaching? Okay. So we're trying to nudge that behavior in the right direction. I like that. And the performance as well. Yeah? Out of themselves. Good. Excellent. And also for the benefit of the project, the organization. And adding value. Great. Good. Good. So you got good ideas there about what is coaching. What would you say coaching is not? Exactly. Good. That's the right answer. Telling people what to do. Just do it this way, okay? What else? Okay, sometimes telling people how to do it, sometimes there is an element of that that's involved in coaching, but it depends on the needs of the individual. Anything else? I'm an auctioneer in my spare time. anything else that coaching is not? Okay, so it's helping people to know what is the right thing to do. Okay, good. So let me give you a definition of what we're going to use as coaching as far as our conversation today. It's a conversation, it's a two-way conversation that builds understanding and awareness in order to take action. Yeah? So the key word there is take action. It's about doing something differently than what you've done before. Okay? So, but you know, those coaching conversations that you have don't come to you kind of saying, please, could you coach me on this? They come to you quite camouflaged. And sometimes they'll come to you like, we have a problem with Houston, we have a problem. Or it might be, I'm not sure how to do this part of the project. I've been thinking about. Or, could I get your opinion about something? And all of those are potentially coaching opportunities. And when we say coaching conversations, we're not talking about sitting down and having a big, long conversation with the other person, but it's about having a quick conversation that gets to the right goal. And coaching is really about two things. It's about having really good listening skills, and about asking questions that facilitate the thinking. Okay? So we're going to do some work with that this afternoon, and we're going to get you working in pairs. So if you could just go and sit next to someone in the group, that's okay, it's allowed. And it's great if that person is not from your organization. It's okay if they are from your organization as well. Okay, now these chairs don't move very much, which makes it difficult to have a conversation, but sitting close, looking at, as much as you can, looking at each other with maybe a bit of chair between you, I'd like for you to answer just one person, talk to the other one just listening, okay, and doing whatever you want with regards to listening. And the question that I want you to talk about, one person decide which one's going to talk, the other one listen for that. And I'm going to give you about 4 minutes to do that, okay? The question is, what attracted you to your organization that you're working with right now, and what keeps you there? Okay? That's not a question. Well, something got you there, huh? So what attracted you to that organization that you're working with now? Or if you're self-employed, what attracted you to being a self-employed contractor? And what keeps you there, or what keeps you doing that? Okay? 4 minutes to have that conversation, one person telling the other about what it is that attracted you and what keeps you there. Starting now, please. Expression is fine. Do you want a time? Fast.
Sorry?
I'm moving faster than I planned.
That's fine. That's fine.
I think we're getting some interaction.
You are. Excellent.
We won't worry about the... Okay, I'm going to call that to close there. And I'm not interested in what it was that the person was saying. I'm more interested in the person who was speaking. How did you know that the other person was listening? What were they doing that was indicating that they were listening? Shaking their head? Nodding? Okay. Either that or you're just giving me expressions there. Okay. So they were nodding. Good. Encouraging. Okay. Okay. Good. What else? Asking questions. Okay, good. And can you tell me a little bit more about how they were asking questions? Okay, good. So kind of probing for more information. Excellent. What else were they doing that showed that they were listening? He's looking at you. Back here, I was really enjoying watching the two of you because you were quite animated, and you were really giving the nodding there, and it was very clear that there was really good listening going on there. I could see it from the front. It's interesting how you can see that kind of listening is actually occurring. Yeah. So let's talk about listening, because everybody says that I listen well. But it's the actual doing it that is sometimes the challenge. Let's look at some of the components of listening. So there are four levels of listening that we look at. The first is attending, and that's exactly what we were talking about. It's the eye contact, it's the nodding, it's the expression. It's letting the other person know that you're with them. Yeah, and that you're still paying attention, not looking at your iPad or your phone or whatever, but actually that you're there and having focus on attention. The second level is accurate listening. And how would you indicate that you're listening accurately?
By asking appropriate questions.
Good, good. So those questions are going to come in there. What else could we do that would show that we're getting it from an accurate perspective? Okay, good. Absolutely. So rephrasing, paraphrasing, feeding it back in our own understanding. And that really helps to let the other person know that we're getting it. Okay? The next one we have is, it gets more exciting now, empathic listening. What do you think I would mean by that?
If someone says something happy, then you smile. If someone says something sad, you don't smile.
Good. So we're listening for the feeling of it. And I like to think of it as we're listening to kind of at the gut level. And we can feed that back. It sounds like you're really excited about that. It sounds like you're really happy about that. Or it could be, it sounds like you're really angry about that. Yeah? And we can just feed back what we're hearing. So that also makes the person feel like I'm really getting it at that feeling or empathic level as well. And then the fourth level, it gets even more exciting here, generative listening. And here what we're talking about is I'm listening in a way that helps the other person to think in ways that they probably haven't thought before. So it's kind of feeding back and also helping to ask with those questions that goes deeper, and it creates a new type of thinking that they haven't thought of before. And that's why coaching quite often can be quite magical, because we're getting the person to think for themselves. And sometimes we just get in the rut that we don't think out loud. And that thinking out loud can really be helpful. So those four levels, and there's some specific skills here that we can talk about around listening. So the first one is awareness of body language, which we've already talked about, and how that body language is often very accurate, more accurate than the words. The paraphrasing, as you said. And that's taking little short chunks of the conversation and feeding it back. The other one that's interesting is summary. And that's taking a longer part of the conversation, maybe 2 or 3 minutes of the conversation, and feeding that back with your real understanding of what the person has said. That really helps to let them know that you're getting it. Okay? And then finally, we've got reflecting the underlying feeling. So what's the emotion, or what's the things that are important to this person that we've heard? Okay? quite straightforward. I'm going to give you a chance to practice that. And this time I want you to go the other way. So if you were the speaker last time, you thought you got away with it. I can see. Yeah. So, yes. Good question. It's a very good question. So we would start more with the not really. You would start more at one because that's where you're really giving the focus, the attention, and it is kind of building up because, in a sense, you're also building up a bit of trust in the way that you're communicating as well. Very good question. Another question? Okay, great, good question. So let's go the other way here, if I go back to where we were. So we're going to go back the other way, and this time I really want the person who's doing the listening to practice some of that paraphrasing. Make sure you're attending, paraphrasing, asking some questions, and then I'm going to stop you at the end and give you some further instruction. Okay, same question. What attracted you to your organization? What keeps you there? Or if you're a contractor, what attracts you to that? What keeps you doing that? Okay? 4 minutes to talk about that, and I'll stop you at the end. Okay, listeners, sorry to interrupt you. Listeners, let me just ask you to think with me for a second. So I'd like for you to think about what you've heard the other person say over the last 2-3 minutes, and just think of a summary to kind of capsulize that, what you've heard from them. And also, what's the emotion or what's the feeling that's there? And feed that back as well. What's important to them in terms of the values that you've heard them talking about? Okay? And just take a moment to summarize and reflect back to them and see what kind of response you give. I'm going to give you about 2 minutes to do that. Summarize and reflect back and just see what the person has to say at that point. Go ahead, please. Okay, I can see that some of those conversations really want to continue, but I'm going to need to stop you there. So, let me ask the person who was speaking, please, how did you know that the person who was listening, what were they doing this time that really gave you that idea that they were listening, that you knew they were listening? What were they doing? I noticed that. So he was really letting you know with his body. He was more excited than you were about it, huh? And what about here?
Yeah, he was really interested in the situation. I mean, and really asking the right questions to let me clarify what's going on.
Good, good. And how did you know that he was interested?
Because he asked the right questions.
Okay, good. Good. Anything else that the person who was listening was doing? Sorry?
Smiling.
Yeah. Good. Okay, that just gives you that kind of, yeah, carry on. Exactly. Good. And? Gosh, he understood my feelings completely in 3 minutes. Hey, that's... Go home and tell your partner that, huh? He understood my feelings completely. Okay, so this listening is really important, and we're kind of making light of it, but it's such an important skill. You know, when somebody in your project team or your sponsor or somebody in your stakeholder group comes to you and says, hey, we've got a problem, that kind of listening to really make sure that we're feeding it back, that we're getting the clarification of it really makes a difference. And if you go away just with that this afternoon, I think that's something that's quite significant. However, that's only part of coaching. The other part of coaching that's very important is the questions that we ask. Anybody ever done any coach training or studied coaching at all? Oh. Sounds like you're undergoing psychotherapy there, but okay. And let me ask you this then. Has anybody had any experience with coaching models, kind of thinking about coaching? What models are you familiar with? Okay. That's okay. That's fine. I can't remember yesterday either. So anybody coaching models? I'll tell you about one, okay? So I'm going to tell you about one that I like to use, and It's especially good for those coaching conversations that we're talking about because it can be quick and it also is a great problem-solving model as well. So especially in a technical environment, I think it really helps to come up with ideas and solutions about how we can move forward. So it's called TIGRO. Does that ring a bell with anybody? No? Okay. So it's an acronym. You guys will like acronyms. I know. It's not three letters, though. That's the problem, huh? So the first one is the topic. So we first of all need to establish the topic of the conversation. And many times, the person who comes to you with the problem or the situation is going to establish the topic. Hey, we've got a problem with. That establishes the topic. Sometimes you're going to need to be the one who establishes the topic, but you need to get some clarity really quickly about what is it we're talking about here. Yeah? So that's a quick thing to do. It's just agreeing the topic of the conversation. The next thing that we want to talk about is the goal. What is it that we're trying to achieve? Why do you think we would want to focus on the goal first? After the topic, what would be important about getting the goal clarity first? Okay, good. We need to know what the output would be. Okay, gives us some parameters to the conversation. What else? Good, it's target. And many times we get in so deep into the problem situation sometimes we forget about what the target is, actually. So I like to think of coaching conversation using my little elastic band here, of the first thing that we need to do is establish the goal. And sometimes that is because we're down here in the current situation and in kind of the muck of the problem, sometimes we can't even be, we almost forget what the goal is. So sometimes this is like in the clouds or in the fog. So we need to ask some questions, and I'll talk about the questions in just a moment, that help us to get to what is it that we're trying to achieve here? What's the goal really look like? And then we want to ask some questions about what's the current situation down here? What's the reality? Let me move on to the reality. So the reality is, where are you at now and what's the situation? Yeah. Exactly, because if we do the reality first, we're just kind of digging deeper. I like to think of it as you're kind of, you know, you get stuck in the snow or ice in the winter, and it just can end up spinning your wheels and getting stuck more. I used that illustration in Dubai recently, and they said, we don't have snow. But we do have sand. We do get stuck in the sand. I said, oh, that's good. That's good. So what's interesting is as we start to clarify the goal and the reality, we start to create, what would you call this? Tension. Oh, that's good. The other day I asked somebody, what would you call this? They said annoying. What is tension? If you can go back to your school and physics or science, how would you describe tension? Vector. Oh, we're getting technical here. Okay. Anybody else? Potential energy. Excellent. Excellent. I was working with a group of, you were maybe there. I was working with a group of railway engineers a while back, and I used this illustration, and I asked them, how would you describe tension? And almost exactly the same thing. They said, latent energy. I didn't say it quite with that accent, but I went, oh, latent energy. Isn't that nice? Because what we're doing is as we start to get some clarity about what the goal is, and where we're at, we're starting to release some of the latent energy that's going to help us to move towards it. That's just the start point, okay? And then the next thing that we want to look at is, what are the options? Now, here again is where we really get some of that thinking outside of the box, because so often there may be just one way of thinking about it, but there may be other ways that we could be working with it that help us to get outside of the box. And whose ideas do you think we are wanting to get here first. Theirs first. Why would we want to get their ideas first? That would be part of the reality. Yeah, go ahead. Okay, good, good. And also, if I come up with an idea as the other person, I'm going to be more engaged, more likely to put that into action instead of it just being given to me, okay? But you are also very involved with the topic as the leader, as the technical leader in many cases, and you're going to have ideas about what needs to be done as well. So I don't think it's at all appropriate to kind of, you know, sit on your hands and say, what do you think you could do about this, when you have some really good ideas about what you could do with it as well. So I like to think of this stage as more co-creating. We're working the problem together. We're coming up with ideas about how we could put that into action. And the last letter is W. Any ideas about what the W might be? Work. No, we don't do any of that. Yeah, it is actually work kind of thing, but what do you think it would be? Will. So what will you do? Okay? And this is actually looking at what are you going to do next and what support you might need as well. So a really simple but very effective model. And each of those stages have some good questions to go with them, because what we're doing is we're helping to facilitate the thinking of the other person. So let me ask you, what do you think? Okay, topic questions here. You can see the type of questions that we would ask for the topic. How's it going with the particular project? What do you want to achieve in this conversation? I'd like to talk to you about a particular thing. So we just start the conversation. Okay, the next question is around the goal. What do you think, let me turn that off for a moment and say, what do you think would be some questions, if I was getting you to think about the goal, what would be some questions that we'd want to be thinking about with regards to that goal? When? Okay, there's a real targeted, when are you going to deliver this? That's good. Okay, definitely when. And we probably also want to come back to that at the will stage as well. What else would be something that we'd want to be clarifying with the goal? Sorry? The why question, okay. Why question could be helpful. Uh-huh. Good. Good. What are you trying to achieve? Good. What would be some other questions that would help us to clarify that goal? What impact would it have? Great, good one. Another one that I like to use, and it's here, is what would success look like? So we're getting people to think about what would it look like if this was already solved? Or how will you know when you've reached the conclusion of this, or what would it look like? Yeah, we can also ask questions here like, how would you feel when you've got this solved? So we start to bring some of that emotion into it as well. But what we're wanting to do is to bring that conclusion to life before we dig into the problem, really bringing that out of the clouds. Then we want to focus on the reality, and I'll hide it whilst I ask you, what do you think would be some of the questions we'd want to ask about the current situation? Good. What have you already tried? I'll just repeat, because sometimes we can't hear that. What else? Where are you now? Good. What else? Why is it a problem? Okay. Good. What's your problem? Okay. I didn't get that. Okay. So some of the other things that we might want to ask are things like, what's happening now? How often is it happening? Is it getting better or is it getting worse? Usually it's getting worse. What's the kind of trend that's associated with that? We can also look at it as a scale. And I think I know that when I'm working with bankers, they love the skill. I think this is probably true for IT people as well. I'll come to you in just a second. So you remember the what does good look like? If we call that a 10 on a scale of 0 to 10, where do you think we are now on that? Well, it's about a 2. Okay, so it's a 2. We've got a bit of distance to go, but we've already done something that's helped us to move towards that. Yes? Who? Okay, yeah, so we might want to get more clarity about who's involved in it. Yeah? Okay, so we could almost do a bit of, we could almost do a little bit of force field analysis at this point in terms of where's the positive energy coming from, where's the kind of opposition coming from. Root cause would be more around reality, yeah. Yeah, we could look at some of the things that are the causation factors to that. Where do you think this is, what's caused this or what's contributing to it? Yeah? Yep. It could definitely have an influence on the options, definitely. Yeah, I think that would be great. And we could also start to think about that in the options phase as well. It almost could be a will question as well in terms of what do you need to move this forward. But I like it at any of those stages. Yes? Ten is not always ideal, and one of the things that we do, you're going into the advanced topic now, but one of the things that we often do is talk about what would it take to move just one point forward. So if it's a 6, what would it take to move it to a 7? Because, or if it's a 2, definitely, you're not going to be talking about what does it take to move it to a 10, because that's just going to be, too much, scary. But we can just say, what would it take just to move it to a 3? That makes it more into things that would be tangible and realistic. Okay? Great. You guys have done this before. You got some good questions here. So that's the reality. And the next thing that we need to do is look at the options. And here, we want to really help to generate as many options as possible. What could you do? One of the key coaching questions that I really like is, and what else? Because good questions are like heat-seeking missiles. We launch them, and then they just go looking for the answer. And if we ask a question like, what else could you do? Then it's kind of like, oh, there must be something else. There must be something else. And the old missile starts looking for, what else could I do? And so we can just keep asking, what else? What else? Because it's a really good way of opening up some creativity. Some other things, like if this constraint, if this situation wasn't in place, what would you do then? It sounds like a crazy thing to say. If the budget wasn't an issue, what would you do? But sometimes it can open up thinking that you wouldn't have thought of before. And then as you start to generate those options, you then say, of course, which one of those do you think is the best way for us to move forward? We do a little bit of working through those options, and then we move on to the will stage. And here, we really want to make it much more tangible. What's the next step? What's the first step that you need to do? How are you going to move forward with this? What's the? How do you make the plan realistic? And then look, we even start to think about what kind of difficulties you might encounter. It's better to think about those now rather than they go out and fall at the first hurdle and then come back and say that plan didn't work. So think about what kind of issues might get in the way. And then finally, what kind of support do you need from me or from other people to make this happen? Now, what's really nice about this is it doesn't have to be a sit down and let's have a 45-minute conversation. This can be done very naturally. So somebody comes to you with a problem. Yeah? You say, so what are we trying to do? What are we trying to achieve here? Talk, 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 talk. Okay, so where do you think we are now? Talk, 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 talk. Okay. So what do you think we can do about this? What options are available to us? Chat, chat, chat. Think about options. Co-create those options together. And then, so what do you think we can do about this? What are you going to do to move it forward? And it's a great coaching conversation that you're having. The other person may not even know that they're being coached, but it's really helping them to move forward, to think about how they're going to improve the performance, fix the issue that's there, and move it towards something that is achievable. So that's the whole loop there in terms of the topic, the goal, the reality, the options, and what will you do? So in terms of getting that started, it's, yes. It's a good question, and often there's a kind of built-in in the will, what support do you need? And one of the things that I would really recommend with this is that we schedule some time within, depending on the project, on the situation, within maybe a few days, maybe a couple of weeks, and we come back and say, so how did it go with that? And then that brings it back around so you can actually close the loop a bit. And one of the other models that we use actually has an S at the end, which is support. What support do you need? How can I support you in this? Which is very much what you're talking about. Okay, good questions. Any other questions? We've gone through it quite quickly. Good question. And depending on the person as well, sometimes, and I'm going to generalize a bit, but sometimes introverts actually will prefer the time to go away and think about it and then come back and have some ideas about it. So we could do some the goal and the reality and think about some of the options and then maybe say, well, let's sleep on it, think about some other options, and let's come back and finish that conversation tomorrow. It really depends on how much pressure there is in the situation in terms of what the time scale is, as well as the individual who's sitting in front of you. And you're going to know them better than you know the other people, so you can make that judgment about what's going to be best for them. Good questions. So we're going to need to wrap up in terms of time. Any other questions that you have? That, I think, is a really good question, especially when you're a technical leader and you may think that the idea that the options that they're coming up with are not going to be the most practical or realistic. And I think it's at that point, that's why I think it's so important that it is a co-creation of the ideas there. Because if you don't think it's going to fly, if the option that they're talking about is not going to fly, I think you need to say, you know, I have some concerns about that for this and this. What do you think about that? So we can then start to work around some of those challenges or issues and work through them. But I think it's a really important point that especially when you're working on technical things or how to get around some politics in the organization or whatever, there's going to be lots of ways. There's going to be more than one way to do that. And it's about thinking about how can we best do that. And these kinds of conversations really do help get things done. The other thing that it does is it takes off some of the pressure from you as the leader, because you don't have to come up with all of the ideas yourself. I was working with a bank a while back, and we did a follow-up session after a couple of months, and the guy said, "I feel so much less stressed after putting some of this into action," because, he said, "I don't have to have all of the answers now. What I need to do is ask good questions to help other people come up with good solutions. I don't have to have all of the answers myself." And he was really quite liberated that he didn't have to have all the answers himself. So let me wrap up there. Emails are here, and we've got, I think... Ooh, risky, I don't know. I've got some data sticks here, but I don't know if I have enough for everyone. So I didn't know how many people were going to be in our session. But we're going to be here for a few minutes, and then I think we need to vacate this room in order to let the next group come in. We're going to go up to the expert area upstairs. Not that we are experts in technology, that's for sure. If you have any questions about coaching, we'd be happy to talk to you about that. And if this is something you'd be interested in introducing to your organization, please stop and talk to us. We'd be very interested to talk to you about that. And we have put on your, just at the end of your row there, evaluation sheets. If you could just give us a little bit of feedback about what you think of the topic today, and any questions that you have, that would be really helpful. Thank you very much for participating in the session and making it interactive with really good questions this afternoon.
My session's late.
Thank you very much.
Let me just check.
Thank you.